You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
The right-wing echo chamber is a phrase used south of the border to describe right-wing movements in their successful use of media and the internet to introduce a new term into mainstream discussion. Canada, too, has a right-wing echo chamber, so argues Donald Gutstein in a recent article. Nobody had heard of the term ethical oil in September 2010. 4 months later, the new phrase was being used by Peter Kent, Canada's new environment minister, as though it were a well-worn phrase. In his article, Donald Gutstein investigated how this new term rose through Canada's public discourse. Donald Gutstein teaches at Simon Fraser University. He is author of several books, including Not a Conspiracy Theory, How Business Propaganda Hijacks Democracy. I spoke with him yesterday, and my first question was what he meant by the term right-wing echo chamber.
Well, the concept comes from the U.S., and what it means is that under the George W. Bush administration, they'd issue some talking points about the need to cut taxes further, or the Democrats were really socialists in disguise. And that would be picked up by the conservative talk radio. It would go around the internet, be picked up in right-wing newspapers, and go around and around, and eventually it would splash into the mainstream media and just become established. And by then, nobody really knew where the term had come from, and it was part of public discourse. So I noticed the same thing has been happening in Canada, because everything that happens in the States eventually finds its way into Canada. So I just marveled at this phenomenon about ethical oil.
Mm-hmm. And what does the right-wing echo chamber look like in Canada? Who's part of that?
Okay, well, key parts are the Sun newspaper chain. That's the Toronto, not the Vancouver Sun, but the Toronto Sun, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Ottawa. They're all part of a chain of newspapers, and the London Free Press. They're all part of a newspaper chain owned by Pierre-Carl Péladeau in Montreal. There's a lot of talk radio, the Chorus Radio Network, like Charles Adler and Roy Green and some of those people we can hear on CKNW in the evenings and on Saturday. There's the National Post, of course, is a charter member of that group. There's what are called the blogging Tories. These are 270 right wingers and conservative bloggers, and they all fit together. You can search for that and see who they are. So that's a big part of it. And then I didn't talk about McLean's magazine in my article, but they're certainly part of the echo chamber as well. Ever since they moved to the right about 4 or 5 years ago.
In terms of this term ethical oil, what is it used to describe?
It's used to describe the Alberta tar sands. And why that's ethical is because the tar sands happen to be in Canada, and Canada is an ethical country. Like we have human rights laws, and we have taxation and a criminal justice system, whereas our main competitors, Canada's main competitors are Saudi Arabia and Nigeria, places where they don't have Ezra Levant had called, you know, an ethical society. So he's arguing that gives Canada an advantage in marketing these tar sands oils.
And now you investigated the growth of this term from when it started. And what were your findings?
We have at SFU we have these newspaper databases, and my search of the database showed that ethical oil, just as a phrase, had never been used in the media before Levant's book came out at the beginning of September. And then gradually it picked up steam, first of all in the Sun newspapers, and then in the National Post, and then, you know, on the blogosphere and so on. So, like, by now, The last time we looked is you Google ethical oil and you get over 75,000 hits. So that's pretty astonishing how that worked.
So when you say Levant, you mean Ezra Levant?
The author of the book Ethical Oil.
And that was the first time the term had been used, was in that book, is that right?
That's right, yes. Ezra Levant is a columnist for the Sun newspapers. So they picked it up. The day when it came out, they gave three excerpts, 3 days in a row. So all of the Sun newspapers, gave selections from the book. And then Levant had his own column, and they covered him as if it was news. And so they just picked up momentum. Then the National Post got it, and it just went from there.
And then eventually the Environment Minister used it.
That's right. It moved on to the political agenda within 6 weeks after the book came out. The first place where I saw it was in the Parliament, the Senate in Ottawa, that two conservative senators both raised the term and started a Senate a committee studying ethical oil. So went there, and then it went into the House of Commons, and they invited Levant to give us evidence in the House of Commons, and then various conservative MPs picked it up. And then the day after Peter Kent was appointed the new Minister of Environment, which was on January the 4th, the very first speech he gave talked about ethical oil. And then 2 days after that, Harper came out in defense of ethical oil. So it's just a very, very interesting process of how it went from zero to 100%.
In your article, you talk about how the Canadian left may have been deliberately baited into promoting the acceptance of the term.
Yes, well, this is very interesting. One of Levant's strategies was to debate environmentalists. And the article mentions at least four debates he had, like Ben West of the Wilderness Committee, Elizabeth May, head of the Green Party, and so on. And didn't matter whether he won or lost the debate, but what mattered was he was defending ethical oil and they were critiquing it. And so all that did was reinforce the idea of ethical oil. You know, the more you try and sort of counter something, strangely, the more that helps embed that in people's thinking. So if you say tar sands oil is not ethical oil, all people remember is the term ethical oil. So that helped further his purpose.
Mm-hmm. And how should people respond, do you think, when terms like this, you know, start making it through the blogosphere and into the media?
An important question, because the advice is, rather than countering a falsehood, and let's face it, we can call ethical oil a falsehood, rather than countering it and helping embed it more in people's thinkings, you should ignore it and come up with an entirely new frame or a new value, something that promotes what you want people to think. You know, so I'm not sure what that would be. I mean, one term going around had been dirty oil. But dirty oil is kind of a negative concept. There needs to be something that resonates more with people's values. I would guess, let's say, about social justice, you know, and environmental justice, these kinds of concepts. What's a term that you could apply to tar sands oil that would capture those values that I believe a lot of Canadians have?
So what do you think the left can learn from the success of these movements?
Well, the left already knows that the commercial media are not their friends, right? It's very hard for the left to get their messages into the Sun newspapers or the you know, but not impossible. Really successful campaign that's been put on by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives about the growing income gap between the very rich and the very poor. This is an important story that even the mainstream media has not been able to ignore. So there are stories that commercial mainstream media will cover. The other thing is the left has to get into the framing game right away. They have to understand they're engaged in a war of ideas and they're losing badly. And they have to come up with what are the values that the left stands for? How do we turn those values into frames that people can relate to? So there's a lot more to be said about that, but I think that would be a starting point.
That was Donald Gutstein, who I spoke with yesterday. He teaches as an adjunct professor at the School of Communications at Simon Fraser University. He is also an author of several books, including Not a Conspiracy Theory, How Business Propaganda Hijacks Democracy. You can read his recent article on the right-wing echo chamber at rabble.ca.